It's totally like a mirror back to yourself. And so if you're willing to see it, there it is right in front of you. And so I just see that as like the most glorious opportunity to like, yeah, not only learn about yourself, but kind of also then decide who you want to be and like go towards that, orient towards that. And then you just get to like see it and experience it and be that. And the more that we can love that and just like be with who we are, the better. And we just constantly, it's just like a constant learning process. And I absolutely love birth for that reason.
Hello, hello, and welcome to all of you beautiful souls. Thank you for tuning in today to the Heart of the Soul podcast. My name is Amana, and I'm so happy that you're here. This is a space where we explore what it means to be wild women walking upon this earth, connecting about that which unites us all. Together, we will unearth that which is often unseen and unspoken through the ancient ritual of storytelling. I invite you to sync to the cycles of our moon with me, enjoying new episodes on full and new moons. It's my hope that soaking in these stories will bring you closer to your own innate knowing and center you into a more embodied, alive version of your beautiful, unique self. Today is Sunday, December 3rd, 2023. The moon is currently waxing towards a new or waning towards a new moon on the 12th. I have Megan Persephone Taylor here with me today through the cosmos. Megan and I connected through the Freebirth Society membership, and I've gotten to read her story called The Conception Field Notes from My Transformational Journey from Maiden into Mother, which is a really beautiful, unique virtual offering, and we'll talk more about it. And I'm just really excited to have her here with me today. And yeah, Megan, would you like to introduce yourself in whatever way feels good to you?
Definitely. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's so great to be here with you. I love the wild woman title, so I'm also a woman reclaiming the wildness of being alive and seeing what gets to be created through this life. My kind of entry point into the story that I share, a conception, and my path now was absolutely through free birth and kind of an initiatory journey through conscious conception, as I call it. So it was absolutely a conscious conception by the end, but I had never heard of that term when it began. So I feel like I was very much called to this path, and now the women that I've gotten to connect with through Freebirth Society, through just these types of stories, are absolutely like what I know that I've come here to share and be a part of. So I'm a mom of two daughters now, and I'm living in Costa Rica and gave birth to my second daughter here this past August. I just love women. I love creativity, and these things kind of merge as just like connecting really deeply with women and being so curious about what each of us is like passionate about. And so I love sharing what I'm passionate about, which at this point is kind of like morphing into sharing about collective creative passion. And I feel like it makes sense why birth is maybe like the root of that, or like the kind of orienting point for that, because it's like an inherently creative act that women can gather around and like all resonate with. And then I think personally, it sparks our own creative channel in like an even more profound way. So that's kind of how I've gotten to this place today. And then, as we'll probably get into, the project that I did, the whole creative process of creating it felt like a whole initiation unto itself, beyond birth, into kind of this, the whole idea of like what innate creativity is and why it's so significant and special and really transformational. Like, I don't use the word lightly, but a truly transformational process if we're willing to engage with it and kind of like peel back all of these layers and really see what's begging to come through us.
Yes, I loved the way that you just weaved so many aspects together, like in this like virtual way. I was really impressed. The way that there's writing, there's sound, there's poetry, there's like screenshots, and your artwork. I love that you're a weaver and an artist in that way. And I loved hearing about your journey from Nova Scotia and then over to Langley. And I have been to Langley before, so that was fun. I'm from Washington State, and a woman that I did El Camino de Santiago with, she lives in Langley, so I visited her there a few times. And
Wow.
yeah. Friend, I'm one of my best friends, used to live in Vancouver. Now she's in Squamish. So it was just fun to find these like threads and ways that we move through life maybe similarly. And the way you incorporate ceremony and ritual into so much of what you, the way you live your life. I just think it's such a beautiful way to intentionally live our lives and
Yeah,
loved.
totally. Oh, I love that too. And I think it's so interesting to kind of like trace. That's why I wanted to be so specific about tracing the journey, because first of all, I thought it was hilarious that I kept going like from the East Coast of Canada to the West Coast, then ultimately back to the East Coast. You find that at the very end.
Yes.
Just an interesting little tidbit about when I first started. Kind of when I first started art school, because I went to like an art specific high school, I lived
Yeah.
on the East. The east side of Toronto, and then that school
Yeah.
was in the west, and so I would be traveling east to west to do that too. Like just these funny, like yeah, going, coming and going, and then like tracing these patterns are so interesting. Not to mention places themselves, because there's so many like special aspects about like meeting people in a certain place, and then even now that I'm in Costa Rica, for example, feeling called to certain places, and then the things that start coming through in certain places, like it just of course is intimately entwined with our stories, and the places where our stories play out.
Yeah, one question that I get from women sometimes is like, you know, what is ceremony or what is ritual? How did you learn about it or how do you do it? I wonder, like from my perspective, I feel like it can be so simple and it, you know, can be something that we already do, but placing an intention with it. I'm curious what maybe your answers might be to questions like that about ceremony. How did you learn? How did you begin? And yeah.
Wow, I love that question. That's yeah, such a good question, because I didn't know anything about ceremony or ritual or anything like in that realm. I did not grow up in a spiritual household, religious, anything. And not to say that there weren't rituals, of course,
Sure.
but nothing in those kind of like yeah, specific ways, not spiritual ways for sure. So along the conscious conception journey, I was definitely making it up as I went. An
Yeah.
interesting part was when tarot came into my life. Tarot came into my life pretty much a year into what I went back and like decided was the like beginning and end of the conscious conception. So it wasn't right away, but it was kind of like the summer after that. It was like a total like intuitive. I hadn't been like obsessed with tarot my whole life or anything like that. I thought it was cool. I just like it never even dawned on me that like, oh right, I could do that, like, or I could get a deck or anything. It wasn't like that, but then it was starting to like call me, and I was like, oh yeah, that would be fun. And then I was working in an art gallery, and then a woman who worked there too like gifted me a deck, which I just was obsessed with, because there's like you should get your first deck as like a gift or something like that. And so I was like, this is so special. It was like one of those moments in time that I like totally remember. It was like so much joy in my heart like receiving these cards.
Yes.
And that was like kind of a traditional tarot deck. And then I soon found the Mother Peace tarot, which is also woven through the whole story. So if people are interested in seeing, it's like a round card deck, and it's all like goddess imagery and birth
Wow.
imagery. Yeah, like it was like the perfect conscious conception deck, basically, because like every other card is a pregnant woman, so and
Yes.
babies galore. So that was a good ally, I would say, in supporting me to start creating my own rituals, because basically it's just like a nice, you can create an intentional, it doesn't even need to be very elaborate, but an intentional time and space to do a tarot reading. And then that can just reflect back to you kind of where you're at. So I was doing that a lot. And that was kind of encouraging me to start doing altar spaces, because I would kind of like have the cards in a certain place and then put them out. And, you know, it does become very intuitive. Kind of special things like, this is my most favorite rock, I will put it here because I want to.
Yes.
And here's the cards. And then doing that, I didn't have like a specific rhythm around it. Like I really would just do it throughout the whole journey, just obsessively, like, am I pregnant? Am I gonna have a baby? Am I doing it now? Like, just like that was how it started for sure with the tarot.
Yeah.
And then the other little rituals that I kind of speak to throughout the story were so just made up. Like I definitely had the intention. It would be like the intention to set up an altar for the spirit baby. That would become like a little moment. And then there's some pretty specific ones where we actually decide that we're calling her in. And then the placenta ceremony, ones like that had their more specific intentions to them. But even so, then I just like on the walk to the river, I picked some flowers that I offered with the placenta, like all just very like came through. And you're like, yeah, of course I want to do it like this. Or yeah, I really just made it up. And I really gave myself the permission to just be like, this feels right, this feels good, I'm not gonna not do it just because I don't know if I'm doing it right.
Yes. So if for the women listening, like you don't have to, there is no wrong way or right way to create a ritual and ceremony. And just, yeah, I want to encourage women to just begin and try, and you'll find your flow and know what feels right and know what doesn't. And it's a practice of turning inward and remembering that you have those answers within you.
Totally. 100%. And one thing that I did, I thought that maybe I could speak to with that question too, was
yes.
like, just the fact that there is, like, even considering ritual and ceremony, it does speak to creating a distinction between something. So like, okay, here's my regular life and here's my ritual life, distinction. And so that I just see as like a container, putting a container around something, putting a framework around something. And that's exactly what has been coming through in terms of the importance of the creative process for me. So now I'm sharing so much about what it means to be creative. And what I found so much is that what the only thing that we even need for that is that same type of intention and boundaried space around, this is the time and space that I'm going to channel my creativity. And here's my other life. Like, here's my regular life. Here's the time and space that I put around that to see what starts coming through that channel, as opposed to the just like, yeah, like haphazard ways that our lives flow. And of course, each one is informed by the other, but it's just about that like slight distinction and like that slight intention around, this is when I'm going to be creative and this is when I'm not.
Yes. Yeah. I love Robin Wall Kimmerer, the one who wrote Braiding Sweet Grass. She talks about ceremony, like turning the mundane into the sacred, you know, even the act of just drinking some water can be sacred with intention and focus and, you know, a blessing to the water or whatever. It doesn't have to be something big that shifts something from being mundane to sacred.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is maybe what I was kind of referring to when I said, like, my family didn't have rituals, but then we ate dinner together every single night, you know? So there's something about that. And just even that is like a distinction from, we're all in separate rooms and now we're all around this table. Here's the ritual of it now, you know, like, and that's just all I mean about having a distinction between those two things. It's just like, so that we can identify them when it's the time. And that's something that I've heard a lot actually from other creative people, or just people who are very intentional about their ceremonies and rituals. It's like, letting everyone know that this is the time for the ritual, like all your ancestors and spirit guides and family members and babies, this is the time that this is happening. And that's what's just helpful to allow it to happen at all. And what I really see as like the significance of the creative having a creative practice is the exact same thing about just like deciding that this is the time and place to do that, because otherwise it just all gets blurry and messy. And it's just as beautiful. It can be just as beautiful. It totally depends on what you're going for. But it's about that. And that's how I found this project create or like became the perfect framework for me to actually express my story. If I hadn't like created that, if I hadn't had the intention of creating a project to share my story, I wouldn't have done it yet. You know, like it would have come out and all, like I would have shared it with different people. That could have been beautiful in its own way, but I really set out to tell it in like a certain form. Like I wanted to give it form. And so this was the way that I found the framework in order for it to be channeled. And like
And
it
you
took
absolutely
so much
did.
dedication.
You have I would love to maybe I before we go a little bit deeper, allow people to kind of see what we're talking about because it's so I feel like unexplainable with words.
I
Do you
love
have
that.
a
That's great.
certain chapter you would like to show?
That's a great question.
Or would you like to just choose?
You're welcome to choose. Like I want, if one of the first ones might introduce the whole concept.
Like your even your spark or birthday, first sight. Which one?
And even the introduction has the kind of like overarching themes about like what I'm gonna get to, and it does, I think it touches on all of the bits.
All right, let's do it. So for those of you watching this on YouTube, you can see this beautiful creation. So there are little poems throughout and this artwork.
Yeah, it's just the perfect way to describe how I feel about art and the creative practice of making art, because it basically proves that I couldn't share my story with only words. I needed all of these images and poems and different things in order to say it all. And that, to me, like that sums up the difference between why we have artists and writers or books and paintings, you know, like there's just these different ways to share these different parts of our stories.
Yes. And I love how you have even like little handwritten notes in here. And you were born on the 5th of May. Is that like you were 5 5 at 5:55?
Fifth month, fifth day, 5:55 in the morning.
And these photos with you and your grandmother and you with this blanket. I'm on the birthday one right now. I know you can't maybe see what I'm scrolling through. And then here you are with the loom. So I'm gonna stop sharing here for a sec. But I just wanted people who are watching to be able to like see this work of art that you have created. I have so on my phone, I screenshotted one part that I just really loved this little quote. Where you say, however, I also realized that this wasn't entirely true. I wasn't only letting it happen because, in fact, I was the happening itself. I feel like people often forget that, like, we are, you know, we are the thing. And so, but I would love to hear a little more about what that means to you in that context.
I love that. So I think what I'm referencing is the notion of having a baby at all, just that the concept. And just the like back and forth that I was constantly feeling of like, am I forcing this to happen, or like am I the one who's in control of this, or am I the like channel for something that's already happening? And like, and there is no answer to that. Like, I don't think it is. It's not a black and white thing. And so it was me coming into that awareness of like conscious creation. So like I'm an active participant. I'm like the consciousness of life, and life is coming through me. And it's everything that we understand about our lives at the same time. So yes, like I, and so that's where like So if I was open to receiving that invitation, or like stepping through that portal and that invitation, I would be saying yes to what life was wanting to do, or like what I was perceiving as life wanting to do, because that's what I was wanting to do. But then there's just these, like, you can get into these confusing places, and like that's why it was like such a journey of coming into, yeah, my own desires, and then my own, what I really truly believe is like my own innate life force that wasn't being obscured by ideas and other people's opinions and cultural, like impositions and things like that. So that's what I'm really trying to talk about, is like my own, like, uncovering. I love this idea of we're all like innate creative beings, and all we have to do is like un like go through the obstacles back into the creative force, as opposed to like find it.
It's like the remembering and returning to it.
Totally. Yes.
Yes. When we
The
can look
return.
outside for like the magic to be outside of us, but the remembering that the magic is within us and always has been. And, we just have to, like you said, uncover it. Reading your story, it also, there were like little, like we used a lot of the same language that like I use on my website or in other writings, which I really love the words that you chose, because it really makes a difference in the story that you share.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. Words carry so much meaning. Very good to be intentional about words.
I would love for you to share about the carry her and carrier story of this stone that you carried up a hill and then created this whole art project and performance around.
Oh my gosh, so good. Wonderful. So yes, I was an art student in Halifax when my whole conscious conception was unfolding. So it's kind of hilarious to be
And
like, I
this
was
was
being
pre-pregnancy, right? This was before you had conceived, but you had.
totally. Yes. Yeah. I kind of say like my conscious conception played out over 3 years, because it like started pretty much with when I met my partner, and which was 2018, and then she was born in 2021. So, but and then over that whole time, like lots of just different layers that I explored, but totally, it was like the thread had begun the
Yes,
moment
and you knew
I met
she
my
was
partner.
coming. You knew it was a daughter.
Yeah, I knew the daughter. I knew her name. I knew she was gonna have blue eyes. Like, I very much knew her in all of these like interesting, intuitive ways. I never saw her. Like, I never had dreams about her or anything like that, which some women do. But yeah, there's just somehow this connection to her. So yeah, it was just kind of funny to think back at my art school degree, where all my professors are asking me to like propose a project and like do these sort of, like basic, very fair, like, let's learn to weave, everyone. And I'm like proposing projects about like baby carriers and just like really like getting into all of these like very deep metaphorical things, like that I was very actively trying to explore, like from my own soul's journey. And then being in the art school space, like people just weren't necessarily doing that. They're not, we're all always exploring our journey, of course. And it's just not what people were talking about. And so I was kind of like walking both worlds of like, okay, here's my project that fulfills all of your requirements. And also, like, I just really need to learn to weave and be like exploring this whole idea of having a baby. Like, I'm just going to be doing that over here. So this performance piece came through because basically I was just obsessed with that. Like, it took over my entire life, but then I kind of just like kept playing at what was going on in my regular life.
But it began with finding this big newborn sized stone, right? So take
Totally.
us to
Like,
that moment.
it began, and it was already like the idea of having a baby had already come through by the time we went on this camping trip. It was like down this huge mountain into a valley where it was like a rocky beach. And as soon as I got there, I went into the water, and yeah, I was just called to pick up this stone. It's the exact size and weight of a little newborn baby. And just all night, my partner kept the fire going, and I would like heat up the rock and then hold it close to me. And I was just like sharing with my partner basically like all of my hopes and dreams, and like, Yeah, just feeling so like passionate. And I think really like having the place to share the stuff that was coming through me and that it was like, yeah, inspiring me that I really wasn't able to be sharing in my day-to-day life as discussed. Like my art teacher wasn't interested in hearing it. The people around me, they just weren't in that place. And so like when I would try to like hint at things, I wasn't met with what I wanted. Which of course is like the whole free birth path. You have to learn that yeah, people are not going to be meeting you where you are for a long time.
Or
And
ever, you but
forever.
we can still choose our path, yeah.
Exactly. And it's just like, yeah, learning to reorient and not think that this person needs to be on board in order to like keep moving forward. So it was the beginning of that for sure. And I just definitely remember that camping trip as like, because my partner was just like on board immediately. Like that's why it was so like wonderful to go on this journey with him, because he's just been so like supportive of me since the beginning, and he's supportive of my creative process and my explorations of things in just a completely wide open way. So he's the person that I'm able to share with, and like things are able to come through. So that's what we did all night. And then in the morning, this hot rock, it was from being in the fire all night. I was like, babe, like we need to carry this back up the mountain. Will you help me? He's like, okay. And we had packed like way too much stuff, and like we aren't hikers or anything, so we had like these huge awkward backpacks and then this rock. But I was just, yeah, very intent on carrying it back, not knowing what I was necessarily going to do with it. But it was totally the time where I was like collecting all of these things, and like for some reason this is important, so I must have it.
Yes.
And we carried it all the way back up. It was felt like a huge achievement to us, and I went on to incorporate it into a performance piece for this yeah, like a wearable art show, it was called, put on through the school. And my friend was organizing it, and I just kind of made a proposal. Again, just kind of trying to find these different platforms to like explore whatever it was I wanted to
Yeah.
explore. And so I had woven this baby carrier, and I put the rock in the baby carrier and said this poem as I like walked around. And yeah, it was fun. Like, and it wasn't actually fun. I didn't like doing it, because it's one of those things, it was like, I was like really intent on doing it. Like, this is a very important thing for me to experience and create and do. But like afterwards, I was like, what did I just do? Like, I felt so exposed and so like, oh my gosh, like now people know like what's going on to a certain extent. Because again, actually, no, like still no one really cared that much. Like, no one, like, yeah, it wasn't like people didn't see it in the way that I felt it. And
Yeah.
so it was still fine. People just see whatever they want to see. It doesn't really matter. But
Well,
yeah,
I see
it was
it, and
definitely a
it
good
was an
moment.
impactful part of your story for me, and I enjoyed reading that part. So, know that. Do you still have the stone?
No.
What did you do with it?
I left it at
Maybe.
the I left it on the East Coast. So I moved with it the first time when I moved into my own place. Like across the water in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, but then I did leave it there. And that's actually an interesting part, because the whole process of creating this work was like a purging process. So there's so many, like you said, bits and pieces. There's handwritten notes and little sketches and little things. Those are from like all throughout my life, like these bins of things with old sketchbooks and old random things that for some reason I'd kept. Did make it with me like many times as I moved across the
Yes.
country the first time.
Yes.
But making the story, I was like, I'm going through this bin and I'm deciding, is this relevant in any way? Is it going into this story or is it not? And if it's not, I'm throwing it out. And I even had like a burning ritual at the very end when we were moving. And I had sifted through everything and everything else. I was like, I'm done with it. I'm not carrying this bin anymore. I'm like done. I just really saw it as transmuting it into something. Like, here, now it's
Yeah.
this work. It belongs here. And it's virtual, so I don't need to carry anything around anymore. So it could have been the very first step of that, like not actually having to be like beholden to these objects for them to like have carried significance.
Yes. Okay, I have another little part I'd like to read. You say, After so many months of what had really become quite a perilous journey, it was hard to actually believe that I had arrived where I had always believed I would be going. It was hard to believe that I had indeed become the woman I had believed I could be, and that my baby was now becoming embodied within me. I never took a pregnancy test, so that tender liminal space lasted for a little while. I had been fairly obsessed with peeing on the plastic stick to tell me all the times I hadn't been pregnant previously, and it was interesting to me that when it was finally happening for real, I was content to simply let it be so. The imagined feeling of seeing two lines was not nearly as compelling to me as the feeling that I was now carrying within myself. So, I mean, there's so much in here, even in just like this small part, but I love that you chose not to take a pregnancy test then, and that it was this, journey to come to this moment. A lot of women don't even know that that's an option to not take a pregnancy test. I would love for you to maybe share some of the stories around this pregnancy and choosing to free birth your daughter.
I definitely think leading up to when it was like really the time to like really allow her to come through, like that was such a specific moment. And in retrospect, and even in the times leading up to it, I could tell that that's what was happening. So like I could tell that I was just on the path towards this thing. And I almost felt like I was playing into, am I pregnant? Am I not? But knowing that I wasn't, like, so like, and I think that that was part of the journey itself. It was like distinguishing, like coming into the like distinguishing between this is the time that I'm exploring what it will be like to be pregnant, leading up to the time that I'm being led towards where that will happen. And so again, the geography is actually an interesting part of that because I ended up getting pregnant on the west coast of Canada as soon as we found the home in which she would be born. So like it was this whole like, okay, it's like a traveling and like an orienting to a place to actually land and settle and then become like a nest and a home that I would actually have a baby. So all the times previously, I definitely knew within myself I was not pregnant. Like I didn't really have times where I was like fully convinced that it was happening. I would just kind of play into like, well, what if it's happening now? What would I do if it was happening now? What would it be like to be becoming a mother now? But all amidst that wasn't actually happening yet. So I think the pregnancy test is like a perfect metaphor for that because it's this like symbol of asking something else what's going on all the
To
time.
tell you what's happening in you.
Needing that. And so I just played into that. And it's not in like a judgmental way of myself at all, just like in a literal like acting it out. Like, what is it like to have to ask if this is happening because I'm having so many like cognitive like I'm spinning around this in such a cognitive way. I need like an answer now. So I'm gonna like ask and then I'm gonna be told what I already know, which is that I'm not pregnant, but at least then I can move on with the rest of my day. I went through that like several times, not every month for 3 years at all, but just at these like for some reason crucial points where I thought it was really important for me to do that. And then, as I say, once I was actually pregnant and actually like in the place where that was happening, I didn't need that anymore.
And so this line about becoming the woman you had believed you could be, I love that line because it's something that I talk to other women about in like the mentorship that I do is just I in my perspective I feel like we birth ourselves anew like over and over again that we keep becoming this these next versions of ourselves and some women have a hard time have challenging moments where they can't see that they feel it and they know it but like how what inside of you knew that you would become this next version of you?
That's a very good question. I think it might come back to what we were talking about in terms of knowing that we're the creators and also being created through our experiences. So I think it definitely was it's like an interesting thing to be reclaiming power. Like, I think that's something that we talk about a lot too, especially in the free birth movement, is like reclaiming our own power. Okay, like where was it? It was like someone else had it or something. Like we believed that someone else had more power than us to control something about our own lives. And so that's like an interesting, it's just an interesting paradox because I think the closer we get to like wanting to control our lives, the closer we get to realizing it's more of like a relationship with life and with creation and like a co-creation. But that doesn't mean like it that starts with deciding that we are our own authority. And so like we're reclaiming the control, and then through the control, we realize that we weren't even really in control, or that we don't want to be, you know? Like if we want to become like a vision of ourselves, or like, because these are just like, they're such like strange, they're not like tangible at all. They're not like an embodied experience yet. It's like an idea of what something would feel like, and that seems compelling. And so we think we should do this to get to that. That's like all very vague and yet very like how life seriously unfolds. And so I think there maybe like the best way to talk about that aspect of control is to just like decide that you can claim things, like you are taking control of what you're deciding you can have. And that is a decisive act, or that's like an intention, maybe like what we were talking about. So I think that's how I would describe that. And again, I think that's why I needed this whole 25 chapter book to explain that concept, because it's so like intangible and just happens in these like tiny little ways that all of a sudden become our life, or all of a sudden become our day to day, and all of a sudden become a day that you look down and you're like, oh, I am her now. Like, this is what I was imagining. And so, yeah, I think that that's really magical.
Yeah, I mean, so I can remember like those times where the future self that I, anticipated becoming then, and she felt so far away, or like I never expected, like even this podcast, a lot of my life was very quiet and had a hard time using my voice. And this podcast has become one of those things that has helped me come out of that. And now I'm like, oh, and now I have like 60 some episodes. Like, but when I first published those first few, it felt like this moment was so far away, even. So,
Totally. Yeah. And in a way, it was, like in a way, that is 60 episodes that you had to carve out time for and do every single step of the way. Like it isn't a snap of your fingers, and then it's gonna feel like that if you do take one step at a time. So that's totally what I talk about too, in terms of pursuing creative endeavors. It's like, okay, we hold the vision. That's the only thing that's like compelling us to go through all these like different iteration, like I can't tell you how many iterations this project had, mostly because it literally started, like there was a time where I was trying to write it before she was conceived. Like it was like in the midst of the journey where I was like, okay, I'm gonna like write it now. Like it's the conscious conception right now. Like, okay, that was like a tiny, like 4 pages or something that I did go back to like include a little bit. But it's one of those things, like you seriously have to keep taking each step. Like that is the story. And then maybe you come to a point, which is why I love the framework of projects or intentions to share stories. Stories are obviously like the best inspiration ever, to kind of put a little container around this is what I'm sharing. And that was an interesting part of this creative process too, because I was very inspired by this idea of a memoir. And the mentor that I kind of found throughout the process helped me to realize that a memoir is a nice way to create a container, because a memoir is different than a biography or an autobiography, which would be like the span of an entire life. And a memoir is like deciding that you're going to focus in on a specific story or and
Oh,
actually maybe even a
yeah.
specific time frame, which was
Right.
very helpful.
It has stories within it. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And the time, because the linear time, like to say that I was just going to write these 4 years was very important for like the actual story again to come through, because okay, I was going to talk about all these other like little pieces of my life, like my entire life, but within the context of the 4 year story. And so that just really helped me to like get specific and actually like hone in. And even then, I had like so many times where I was like going all over the place and just continue. It was like a continual like honing in and like creating the framework so the thing could exist. And that's what I'm constantly talking about now. Like just giving yourself that little boundary will allow everything to come through. It's actually not going to limit your process at all. It could absolutely be exactly what you needed for it to come through.
I'm still so impressed that you've done this in this time frame with your little ones, because I definitely like would I know that there's more writing within me. I would love to write more, but I have not created out the intentional time to write, but someday I will.
Totally. Yeah. There was something. I'm like an Aries moon and like tropical, and then Aries everything in sidereal. And so I think there's something about these like creative sparks that like I can't let it go or like will consume me if I don't like assuage something about it.
Yeah.
And I am totally, yeah, passionate about it. It can be the smallest time frame at the beginning, you know, like even if it starts as 10 minutes a day, it would be so interesting to even see 10 minutes a day for 5 days and then 10
Totally.
minutes a day for a month. It's just, like it's so interesting
Yes.
how even that small thing becomes the momentum that you need to even just realize like what was the point of this? Like why did I feel compelled to write at
Right.
all?
And maybe
Yeah.
I need to organize it more. I have so many like Word docs of like different little things that
Totally.
I
Yeah.
intend to do something with someday, but they're just sitting there for now in the cosmos. But
Totally.
I
I
will.
believe in the nebulousness too. Like, and that's kind of like engaging with your own creative practice. You can start kind of realizing when is it the time for having things all over the place and when is it the time to streamline. And I totally think there's a time and place for everything.
Yes. So yes, a lot of my listeners are birthy people and having free births and things like that, and home births. I would love for you to share maybe a story or something that you feel more women should know about free birth specifically, or something that was really impactful about one of your experiences.
Yes, oh my gosh, so special. What I'll definitely share is that free birth, maybe like so many of these other kind of like wild woman paths that are out there, really starts becoming just the most normal thing ever. Like I truly forget sometimes how maybe radical my life is to an outside perspective, or yeah, like I totally forget sometimes when I'm talking to people or when I like now my close friends circle is so like in that space too. Like I can't imagine anything else. And so the best way that I like to like kind of summarize that is that it's part of that remembering too. Like that was something innate and true about ourselves as women, which is that we can birth our babies and we can do it however we want in amazing, like in truly whatever way we want. It can be exquisite and euphoric and ecstatic, or it can be horrible and painful and an act of endurance. And all of that is perfect because it's truly whatever we wanted it to be. And that's just like my favorite thing about life, basically. And in my most recent free birth, my whole consciousness had changed already from my previous birth, and already like that had been a free birth, and I was so like on that path already. But like throughout my second pregnancy, I like went even deeper into kind of like my own perception of birth and just totally that like owning my co-creative part to play in it. And even after that, like my birth still played out in a way that I'm kind of like, oh, right, like that wasn't what I wanted. But it kind of was. Like it's totally like a mirror back to yourself. And so if you're willing to see it, there it is right in front of you. And so I just see that as like the most glorious opportunity to like, yeah, not only learn about yourself, but kind of also then decide who you want to be and like go towards that, orient towards that. And then you just get to like see it and experience it and be that. And the more that we can love that and just like be with who we are, the better. And we just constantly, it's just like a constant learning process. And I absolutely love birth for that reason. And that's where like all fear, like I hold no fear in birth anymore at all, because I don't fear my own life and I don't fear my own self anymore. I'm just curious about like, what will this show me? And what will this show me? And like, how miraculous is it to be a participant in this whole miraculous thing? Like, yeah, it
Yes,
just it
yes.
obviously makes me
Yeah, and
wish.
we are transformed by our births, wherever they may happen. I just have witnessed the possibility of the women, what women can become, the women, through free birth is very different than the way a medicalized hospital birth can will also transform a woman, but just in a very different way.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I truly don't think that there's a way that you can give birth without being invited into the entire transformation of yourself, because I think sometimes it was through your hospital experience that you realized everything and then you've reoriented yourself. You like had that experience and then you've reoriented. I think it like the invitation is always there. There's not a birth experience that doesn't include the invitation to be transformed. And it is kind of inevitable anyway. And I think it's just about this, yeah, like aligning with that and like deciding, are you in or not? And you're truly held in whatever choice you make. Like it's totally fine. Life will continue on in whatever way you choose. And yeah, I'm thinking right now about my last birth, and it's just the kind of thing where there's no part of me that would say like I never want to give birth again. Like I want to give birth for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And
Yes.
you know that you've yeah like reclaimed birth when that's true.
Yes. So I happen to have like this other, so it sort of speaks to what you already spoke to, but it was in your written word here. And you say, "What I have learned over the course of this brief and poignant season of my life will forever shape who I am and who I will become. It will alter the trajectory of everything that is to come and all that will be. I am in the awe of the transformational power of birth and what she has shown me about my life itself, specifically, of course, my own, and how I am able to create the world I want to live in through the devotional practice of reconnecting to the innate life force that lives through us all." And that just really touched me, and I love the way that you put those words together there.
Yeah, that's really what it's all become. And I think when you get to the heart of so many people's really authentic work and really authentic self-expression, that's what it is. Like, how could it not be if we're tapped into life unfolding? We're just all expressing it in our own unique way. And the closer we can get to like our own version of it, the better.
Yes. I know we talked about you sharing the story of your daughter's placenta, and so maybe you can talk whatever parts, but also maybe you could speak a little bit to your placenta, as in the placenta that was with you inside your own mother, and her experience with that placenta, and then how it came that you and your mother had time and created that ceremony with your daughter's placenta.
Definitely. My own birth was in the hospital, and there's a ton, like so much. I think like the biggest challenge of creating this project was that maybe that fact. And there was so many like the hardest parts to write, I could tell, were when I was actually being caught up in like in my own past story that was wanting to be resolved. And so that's why I think it was, that's why I define it as a transformational process, like that I actually engaged with, because I absolutely believe that I transformed something that I was carrying within me into something new. And that's like, that's not an easy process at all. Like, it actually makes no sense. It, again, it's one of those things, like, it happens just like in our day-to-day life. Like, when's the time for transforming our past trauma? What, like, what time is that? But it's just this slowly but surely, like, ongoing process that, like, if you start following it, you kind of start realizing it, and then you can start, I guess, like, deciding, like, okay, yeah, I actually am gonna like really deal with that in like a specific way. And I also believe it doesn't even need to be a specific way. It could be like our creative projects could hold that type of information for us, or like that type of opportunity to transform things, even without it being so stark as it is in mine. So in this work, I, again, like talking about all these frameworks, I needed to establish a whole bunch of different frameworks for different parts of the story to come through, and to just kind of distinguish between, here's the story that I'm telling, here's like my story, and then here's what was like informing it. And in order to get that out, like in order to actually express that, I really needed these other frameworks just for myself, like to feel okay about it. It couldn't, so to be specific about it, I wasn't trying to write my own when I myself was born into my conception journey, but it was such a huge part of it. Like, I could tell that it was such like at the root of it, that it needed to be shared in the story, but in its own separate way. So there's literally a little like chapbook of poetry that looks like it's written within each chapter, and in that little book is these poems that was what I used to process my own story. So that was like a whole big thing. Like, it just, because it's so simple to state, like, that's how I did it. Like, that's the framework that I came up with. But that's the creative process. It's like, not only do you have to express what it is, you have to be the one to create the framework for yourself and like kind of understand what's going to work, and go through different ways of, this framework didn't work, and this one wasn't inspiring, and this one made no sense, this one was too confusing. Like, it's this back and forth with yourself of, okay, I'm gonna create this framework, and then I'm gonna create this thing, and then, oh no, gonna change the framework, blah blah blah. So coming up with that little, having the poetry book was super helpful for me. As soon as I did that, I was able to just keep writing these poems, and the poems just felt very like the medium that that story needed to be told in, because it was just, it's like very free. Like, I didn't actually need to explain anything, whereas I was kind of trying to explain what happened in my conscious conception journey factually. But in
Right.
the, in this talking about my own birth story, I didn't.
Yes.
It
So
could be much more than that.
what was your mom's experience with your placenta? And then I would love for you to walk us through your experience birthing your daughter's placenta, keeping it with you, and then when your mom visited, creating more ceremony with it.
Yes, totally. I think by the time I got to birthing the placenta, like the moment of birthing the placenta, I had already done so much of my own work to reorient myself around birth and like let go of a lot of the old stories, that it wasn't something that I was feeling like I was having trouble with. I didn't have trouble birthing the placenta. I didn't have trouble revering her or anything like that. So that already, it felt like my whole journey towards free birth was like, yes, like this is what I've always wanted. I want this. I claim this. I choose this. That was never, it was never hard for me to do that. Like, as soon as I went th to that first like Planned Parenthood appointment, I was done with that. Like, there wasn't a temptation anymore to engage with the system. I didn't want it at all. So coming into my birth experiences, that was like at the, I was already clear of like things. And so the placenta ceremony was still just me trying to be like, okay, so if like I've chosen reverence, how do I incorporate that into like an intentional space? Keeping it with me, or like keeping her cord attached was very intuitive. All of that, I just like let it be very intuitive because I just decided that I believe that this makes sense and I'll just follow what makes sense, which again, when you get down to the root of everything, of course it makes sense. Like that is the best.
Trusting yourself. Yeah. And yes. So your mom had, so when you were born, your placenta was there and you wrote that your mom asked to see her placenta and then they just barely showed it to her and then whisked it away to medical.
Yes.
Who knows what they do with them.
Exactly. After having been completely detached from the actual birth process physically because she had an epidural. And then just kind of, I imagine emotionally and spiritually, because it was something that was happening to her and like literally like away from her, as opposed to like through her and with her by her own choice. Like my mom honestly has no problem with my birth story. It's fine for her. But yes, I think like that moment of disconnection, like because the cord is cut so immediately in the hospital, there's zero time whatsoever for reverence, never mind just like the physical transfer of like the final
the physiological transfer of the blood that's meant to happen for the baby.
All those things, and I see that in the exact same way. Like that to me is just like two different frame or lenses through which to see the same thing. Like it's the same, it's like the lack of spiritual connection is the exact same as not getting the blood, like the same kind of deprivation. But yeah, like it is an interesting point that my mom was curious to see, what is the placenta? Like, can I see that? Like, wow, like I just birthed this thing. And like, what is that all about? I know nothing about it, because my mom is a very squeamish person and hates blood, hates, like she doesn't like anything about that. So I bet, yeah, seeing the placenta was like kind of a big deal for her. And then also makes sense why it wasn't like she was very called to fighting to keep it and wanting to bury it or anything like that. It did make sense in her mind that that's something that goes away now. Bye-bye. So yeah. When I didn't have like necessarily plan again, I just like kept my baby's cord attached as long as felt good in a little basket, or in a bowl at first for the first one. And then once the placenta was detached, we kept it in the freezer just like until a later date. Like I didn't have like a specific thing in mind. And then when my mom came to visit me and my baby for the first time, that was at like 6 weeks, I felt very called to, that was the time where my mom and I should go down to the river together and offer the placenta to the river. And there's a funny part, I don't even know if I wrote this in the story, but maybe I did. My partner.
I'm gonna share the screen with your placenta here.
Okay.
As you're speaking about it.
Okay. My partner got mysteriously sick that day. So he was just like tapped out and couldn't come. And I was like, okay, like I think it's meant to just be me, my mom, and my baby. So that's what happened.
Yes. So the photo with your you and your mama in 97, and then your mama meeting Loon here. Your placenta smoothie, the gathering of your supplies, your ceremony materials, and then the spot at the river where you placed Loon's placenta.
Yeah.
Aww. So can you walk us through a little bit the what you and your mom did down by the river there?
Yeah, I just very intuitively brought things. So I brought some offerings, like some food offerings. I brought broth that I had been totally obsessed with and to this day still am. And probably like some chocolate, like just some like nourishing things, like re-nourish the earth as my placenta had nourished my baby. Just like those beautiful things too. Like I'm such a like materially inclined person, and beauty means so much to me that that's, I think, a huge part of my types of rituals. Like, how do we make this beautiful? Like, I don't, and then from that, what happens when we've gathered beautiful things Like that's kind of what starts happening. There's just like beautiful things, and you're like offering reverence, and like it's so symbolic too. I loved the river. I didn't feel like I should bury the placenta because the place that we were in was just like a rental place that we kind of knew we weren't going to stay at, and so it didn't feel like my land to keep it there. So I wanted to give it to the river to imagine that it flows throughout the entire world. And actually, so funnily enough, I haven't actually done the placenta ceremony for my second daughter's placenta. So that's like still, I'm again just kind of waiting for the intuitive time. And there is a huge river down in the jungle right beside our place. So I think it will be a water offering again.
Beautiful.
But yeah, it was again just super intuitive. I lit some candles, I said some words, my mom took the pictures. I wrapped it up in cloth, and then I like put it in the reeds basically. And then like hilariously, a couple days later when I came back, it looked like the whole thing had been unwrapped and was just like lying there because it was like this big red lump with like a little cord coming off of it. But like you looked at it and that was not the placenta. It was a rock that just looked so much like it, exactly in the place that it was in. And I don't exactly know, because then like more like brush kind of came all of a sudden into the spot that I had actually placed the package. And so I couldn't really see if it was still there. And I also didn't really mind like if an animal had gotten it or something. Like I was very open to like what how it gets reclaimed. But just the fact that there was this like rock marking the spot was like crazy to me.
Wow,
Yeah,
magic.
totally.
Yes. All right, so what else would you like women to know about your the story that you've written that we haven't talked about already? Is there anything?
Well, I think what I'd love for them to know the most is that this was just such a like pretty random example of creating something meaningful based on our own stories. So this to me just became, it just felt like such a significant story that I was like very compelled to share. And I think it could have really been any story, and setting the intention to express a story will inevitably lead you down the path of your own innate, authentic self-expression. And so I think maybe that's the interesting part about it. You can choose anything. And then, of course, the more significant the story was to you, the more significant maybe the process would be. But just that we don't really need to wait for something as elaborate to show up. I really do think like that's about the story itself, like the project itself. That's what I would speak to about it in terms of like actual conscious conception. Like that's honestly like a whole other thing to me. Like if you're going to engage with that, like yeah, like that's an epic trip. But just the project itself to me represents I had the intention to share this story. This is what happened when I went through with that intention.
And how has storytelling changed your life, and why do you think storytelling is so impactful?
Oh wow. Just that I think we get to know ourselves more deeply through our own stories, because it's actually so interesting to think like time-wise, like every time we tell the story, we're completely different people than we were than in the past when the story was playing out. So like it's almost interesting to hear yourself share the story from who you became through the story.
Yeah, and for me, like the way that I share a story 5 years ago is different from way that from the way that I share the same exact story today.
Exactly. And that's why I think it's so special to make things like this, because then you're marking, especially kind of close to when the story played out. And of course, it could happen in different ways for different stories. But like the sooner that you're able to kind of dig into, like, oh, like what just happened there, the sooner you maybe like come into like the next iteration of what you're meant to learn through. Of course, like it's our life story, you know? Like I love spirals and spiral imagery of like we are always the same and we're ever evolving throughout this entire lifetime. And so I would even say, like, our stories are almost going to be the exact same, like, from the time we're young to the end of this lifetime, we're kind of playing out the same story. And so to like hone in on these specific experiences that we can give a beginning, a middle, and an end to, we can kind of, like I said, learn about ourselves in this time and place and see, okay, like, oh, wow, like I responded to that like this. Is there a way that I would like to respond differently in the future? Is there like a, just using that as kind of the orienting point to know this is where I've come from, maybe this is where I want to go. Not to mention the like co-creative act, like the reclamation of the creating and the telling of the story itself. Like learning to tell really good stories is a really great way to live a great life because you're telling
Yes,
them.
and it takes practice. And we can't expect to be great at something from the beginning. Yeah.
Totally.
You have a little one?
I think I definitely have a baby who needs a little drink. Okay. I'll
Here.
pick.
Oh. Do you want me to pause or are you?
Oh,
Oh
it's
my
just a second.
gosh. Look at her.
This is Zadie Grace.
Oh, you are amazing. That hair.
Yeah, and she came out with all this hair.
Wonderful.
And she's only 3 months old right
Incredible.
now. Yeah.
Lovely. Well, maybe now's a good time for you to tell people where where other people can read. And of course, I'll have all these links in the show notes, but tell people where they can read this story you've written and other ways that they can interact with you, like your one-on-one mentorship and your membership space and any other offerings that you have you'd like to talk about here.
Totally. So the A Conception Project lives on Substack right now. You can find all the chapters there in order. And it's so exciting because basically I've envisioned all of the things that were kind of like inspired by creating the project like a year ago. And then as the spiral has continued, they're like finally ready to come through. So
Yeah.
just launched this private membership exclusively for women with the intention of exploring the creative process. So it's like I envision it as like a virtual studio space, and it's just kind of wide open to this whole creative exploration, everything that I am talking about in terms of exploring the creative process. That's the invitation there. And there's already, yeah, a lot of really special women who are kind of resonating with that and kind of like stepping into like, oh yeah, like having a sacred space for my own creative practice could be really helpful. And then having a whole community of women who are all talking about it, like, it's actually really special. And it's definitely what I wish I had had in the creation of this project, because like it's long and it's hard and it's like very, it's dark in the sense of it's very unclear. Like I described it many times as like sitting down and feeling like I just had to like wade through like a dark forest. Many, many times. So, yeah, I think that it would be really special for women to start doing that in community. Not at all because we can figure out things for each other necessarily, but just having that reflection and having that support and also the encouragement, I think can be really special. And then the mentorship too, I'm like just kind of starting and feeling into what could be helpful for women who are pursuing maybe a certain specific project or even an intention or even just have these little threads that are coming through. How would it be helpful to have someone to reflect back like, yeah, like that sounds really meaningful, or I'm not necessarily seeing how this image speaks to that story. Like I'm hearing your story very deeply, and have you considered showing it in this way? Something like that. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about all the infinite possibilities of self-expression and how a story does not need to be written. It can be performed and woven and painted, and that actually probably is going to tell it so much better than if you force yourself into a certain way. So I think that's kind of my intention with this whole idea of creative mentorship. Just having someone to reflect back, like, this sounds really special. And like, have you considered that you have your own way to express it?
Yeah, and help them find that within
Exactly.
themselves.
Yeah, so then you also mentor women in like the birthing season or around if people are having a free birth and they want mentorship and want you to walk alongside them with that. That's another offering, is that right?
Totally. Yeah, I love conscious conception is like my passion, basically. And yeah, wild pregnancy and free birth, it's basically just everything I love talking about. So I never get tired of hearing those stories and reflecting back those types of stories, and probably will ultimately end up being like sharing my own experiences to just once again like offer inspiration or just reflect back, this is what's possible, because it's already possible within every woman, and sometimes we just need that reminder, or it's just more fun to be doing it together, you know?
Yes, your website is so beautiful. I love the colors. I love all the art in there. I'm just like, oh yes, you can tell that she is this like incredible artist in the way that
Oh,
you've
thank you.
done
Thank
the
you. I've
imagery.
seriously been using like website design as my creative medium these past
Yeah.
2 years as I've been like nomading and just being
Yes.
a mom of little babies. So thank you so much.
Yeah,
That
I
it
know how
really
to plan.
can come through in any way.
Yes. Do you also offer tarot readings?
Yep. Yes,
Yeah.
that's the
Okay.
other little thread because it was so because I found it such a creative ally to me. I'm kind
Yeah.
of, yeah, I'm offering that as a sort of this is what was helpful for me along my creative journey, and not to mention conscious conception. So I offer readings with the Mother Peace Tarot exclusively, just to
Beautiful.
also bring that magic through and introduce women to that deck.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, it's been such a pleasure to chat with you today. Thank you so much for creating all that you do and for sharing yourself and your offerings with the world.
Wow, thank you so much for this invitation. It was so much fun. And yeah, I just love connecting with people through the things that we make because then you can kind of really get to know each other and really start realizing how similar we are and like how interesting we all are and really learn more about the magic of women.
Yes, the magic of women. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in today to the Heart of the Soul. If you love the podcast, I would be so grateful if you would choose to subscribe, rate, review, or share the show. If you feel aligned with me and my energy and are feeling drawn to unearth your wild inner knowing, birth your baby wild and free, need support navigating the medical system, are feeling stuck in your grief, are curious about receiving an intuitive mediumship reading, or need a safe person to debrief and integrate a traumatic birth experience with, I am here for you. I have walked alongside women and mothers for over a decade, witnessing real healing, change, confidence, and stability be unearthed in them. I believe that women claiming their sovereignty, returning to their own inner knowing and embodying their wild will truly transform the world. To learn more, book your free clarity call at www.birthingnova.love. Until next time, remember to be brave, be love, be wild, be you, and be the change that you seek for yourself. And also for the generations to come. Mwah.